This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
First of all, conference cuts. And you know who's first? Dave Clawson. Why? Because his team's first.
Makes sense to
there
me.
You go. Asked where does he get the sense that the focus is stronger for his team, and he talks about focus a lot, but is the focus stronger now knowing that the goal is attainable for the Demon Deacons?
Well, I after we were 4-0, we had a couple guys like miss a class or two and late for a study hall, and I was worried we were losing it. And we just said, guys, this is what happened in 19. We're not putting up with it. And our leadership kind of, we self-corrected. It's human nature, right? I think it's human nature that, you know, when you write a long article or you beat a deadline, what do? Yeah, you relax, right? I just think it's human nature. You write a long-term paper, you finish a big important business meeting. I mean, human nature is when you accomplish something, you then want to relax. And the football season doesn't allow you to do that. And so I think it's human nature that, you know, you get off to a good start and, okay, you start feeling good about yourself and you relax, and that's when you get beat.
What do you think?
Better not be chilling out this week.
Oh, I don't think
Tar
so.
Tar Heels are awaiting. Brown's guys, they need some W's to get bowl bound. And here are the Deacs, number 9 in the country. A lot going on. Last year, these teams combined for like 6,000 points. I'm not sure it's going to be that high this year. Maybe only 4,000 points.
I think Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge and Molly McGrath will have a heck of a day Saturday.
It's going to be a fun game.
Yep.
If you like offensive football, this is your kind of gig.
There you go. Jeff Hafley played two guys at quarterback on Saturday at the Dome in Central New York against Syracuse. So is the two quarterback thing here to stay? Here's the coach.
You know, I thought Emmett did a pretty good job coming in. I think Emmett has not played football since his junior year in high school. Emmett has not been tackled by another person since his junior year in high school. So for him to stand in the pocket and sit in there and make some of those throws, now I think he could look back and try to get his feet set a little bit more. He got a little jittery a few times, but he stepped up and the first completion he had, I think, went for 40 or more yards, right? I didn't know what to expect, Andy, because he has not he's played in like 14 games in his whole life. So I didn't know how that would go, but I thought he did a good job coming in on the third series. I thought he gave us some juice. He moved the ball down. I wish we could have executed better. He knows there's some throws he left out there. He sent me a text late last night, so I know it's important to him. I think he'll continue to get better with the more reps that he gets, because he hadn't really gotten a lot of reps until last week. We started ramping him up, the week before a little bit more. But I think he's got a bright future. And I'm proud of the way he went in and competed. So as for the two quarterbacks, do I necessarily like playing two quarterbacks? No, I'd be lying to you if I told you. I'm not a big fan of rotating quarterbacks unless you have one that runs and one that throws.
Very studious approach by Hafley, wasn't it?
I'm a fan. You know, I'm a big fan of Jeff.
Okay, let me go back to some math on this for you. Get concerned here.
Now I'm worried.
Yeah. Okay, so Dennis Grossell, remember the Djokovic injury when it occurred was projected at 2 months, right? Now, Roddy Jones and I saw Phil Djokovic warm up before the Louisville game. Now, when I say warm up, he went out there in shirt and shorts and ran around and tossed the ball and things like that. He did not have pads on and take a rep, okay? So I don't want to give you the impression that Phil Djokovic is this close.
But how close?
That close.
That close. Well,
but close. I don't want to give you that impression. What I do want you to, though, is to think about the timetable here. For them to play Emmett Moorhead right now, remember, they've got 4 games that they can play Emmett Moorhead, and he retains his eligibility for next year.
A lot at home, too.
That's correct. So I would expect to see Moorhead 3 more times, but I'm not going to expect to see him more than that. And if that includes the bowl, that would be one of the 4. Dennis Grossell, but also what I'm telling you is, keep an eye on number 5 coming back. Remember, because number five got hurt.
Is this like breaking news? Is this?
No,
is this,
I'm just projecting here.
Is this a Culpepper report from the old radio days?
Wow.
Huh? Are you telling me something like that I've not read anywhere?
My intel's being dismissed. No, it's not.
Are you telling the BC folks up there in Red Bandana Night that keep an eye on five?
I didn't say five would play Friday night.
I didn't say that either.
Okay. He played in two games. Colgate, UMass. He's got two left. He's even got another year left. I mean, he could come back and play five or six because he's, you know, it's not like he's redshirting. But what I'm saying is Emmett Moorhead will see four games. That'll be it,
okay,
in my opinion.
All right.
So, but keep in mind, Phil Jakovic is on a timetable to return if he so chooses. Up to him.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And Coach Hafley.
You just witnessed West Durham math right there.
Let's move on. Dabo Swinney. Talked about the health of his
offense. I love it when you get irritated with me.
Dabo Swinney talked about the health of his offensive line as they get ready to go to Louisville Saturday night.
He better be ready. Better be ready this week. They better all be ready. As we got a few good men. That's it. You know, three men in a truck. Here we come. Got to make it work somehow.
Dabo's comments brought to you by Coke Zero Sugar, by the way.
He's basically saying that offensive line's a little thin. But
thin all year.
They've had one of those years with injuries. They just can't get out of the
right way.
Like, even in the game Saturday where they're chilling out, a couple offensive linemen, boom, they're down. You're like, I'm like, hey, he doesn't have any more guys left.
Right, he doesn't.
Maybe you can try to figure that thing out.
For a team that had unbelievable depth, they thinned out pretty quick.
Wow.
Injuries really will do it now.
Amazing year.
Yep.
Injury department.
David Cutcliffe next. Number 25, Pittsburgh, visits Wallace Wade Stadium on Saturday.
Outdoor stadium.
That's it, yes. Coach Cut talking about why really good practices have not been transitioning into better performances on Saturday.
Yeah, I think from a player's perspective, because of that energy they're displaying, they really think they're good practices, and they are good. But when you're not winning, they have to be better than good. They have to be great. They have to be fundamentally great. There can be no assignment errors. It's not just the energy. You understand what I'm saying. I can't sit down with all of them and watch film. I sit with the coaches and watch film. There are still things we have to correct to do better. If we do them, the details a bit better, if as a coach I put them in better positions, then that energy and that practice habits will become extremely successful. And that line sometimes is about that thin. It really is. It goes to everything from feet to pad leverage to timing to, you know, all of those things. And when as a coach, when something's not in sync, you're the orchestra, right? You could have a guy playing the best he's ever played, you know, and with more enthusiasm than he's ever played individually. If it's not in sync with the rest of the orchestra, I bet it sounds pretty bad, you know. And I don't know if that's a good example. And when you got a lot of fires, guess which ones you better put out first, the biggest ones. And I'm not going to tell you what the biggest ones are because that's a scouting report for an opponent. But, yeah, you bring out two fire extinguishers if you have to.
May have to include that in the Pac-Man coaching journal, the fire extinguisher chapter. Because he just said, that's kind of the old Pac-Man idea. Hey, I'm not going to tell you that's a scouting report. I'm not giving out free information. Kind of like the whole coach has given us two good ones this year. Fire extinguishers and
that's it.
Roll the dice.
Roll the dice. Got to roll the dice.
David Cutcliffe, he hasn't given us that one yet.
All right. We're talking about practices going to the game field, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
At Duke?
Yeah.
There's a topic also in play in Atlanta this week for Jeff Collins, who asked why some of the good practices always don't translate to Saturdays.
Yeah, it's just the environment, just deducing down the moment, staying in the moment, when the now, all the things that we've been talking about, and it happens in key situations. And here's the, you know, I've made my name, made my career producing big time defenses. And a lot of times it comes down to one or two things. And on the back end, if something breaks down on the back end, everybody knows it broke down. Like my grandmother is 90 years old. She can sit up here, oh, the DBs messed that up, right? But up front, the thing I was showing to the entire team on the one big play on the second, third down that went for a touchdown, we've got to execute up front too. But my grandma doesn't know that we didn't hit the right gap and we didn't run the exact technique to get the pick. But everybody sees it on the back end when something happens.
Jeff Collins comments presented by Dasani Water.
You know, I don't think you should bring grandma into it. I don't. It's like, you know, you can come up with fire extinguisher examples like Cut does. I don't think you bring grandma into it. Because let me tell you, grandma knows. Grandma knows. Grandma wants the best for son.
Grandma identifying field corner.
Yeah. I mean, I would leave grandma out of it, coach.
Grandma, we got to get the field corner.
We got to get something else covered there. Leave grandma alone. She's going to be just fine. Just need to win more games.
Grandma was after it.
Grandma, I'm telling you, you don't mess with mom and you don't mess with grandma. They know. They know.
Mm-hmm.
You think you know? They know. Guarantee you.
That's conference cuts.
That was quite a combination.
I was getting ready to ask you, how you feeling about conference cuts?
I love conference cuts.
I know you do.
Every week. It doesn't matter if it's
football
season. We have
players edition typically on Thursday.
Right. It doesn't matter to me if it's football season, hoop season, any other season. I like hearing from the coaches and the players.
There you go.
But I am a little concerned. You know what I'm concerned about with Georgia Tech? I said this now for about the last 4 weeks.
What's that?
Where is the BMW sponsorship? Have they maybe?
I'm not sure.
Is that out?
I don't know. I know water's involved.
No, I get all those. But, you know, Mrs. P drives a Beamer now. So we're kind of.
Well, last year they had the BMW, maybe not renewed.
They
got a whole different setup down there in Atlanta now.
I mean, that's your backyard, man. You should know that.
They're under new management.
You know, as a former voice of the Jackets, I thought you'd get that email.
I'm not included on this. You're anymore. Not? No, shockingly.
They've taken you off the list?
Kind of, yeah. I get the other releases, but not
You're a Hall of Famer there, aren't you?
Yes.
Aren't you part of the Georgia Tech Hall of Fame?
That's very sweet of you to remember. Yes,
right?
Thank you.
Oh, you got to be still in the email chain.
Somewhat, yes.
Wait a minute. So do you get them or not?
I do. I get all the updates
I thought you
on
just
sports.
Said they...
But I don't get the business emails that would tell you why BMW is or isn't a sponsor.
Can we get somebody? I know the folks down there are watching. Can we find out? Because I don't want to keep bringing this up. If BMW did not renew.
I would say if you haven't seen them by now, they're probably not involved. And you being a marketing entrepreneur.
Yeah, I know.
You would know that,
I'm not in any Hall of Fames.
I know that, but I would ask this. If you haven't seen them by now, do you think you're going to see them?
Well, I'll tell you what. If BMW did not renew with Georgia Tech, let me help out our new radio affiliate in Atlanta. Hey, sales department. BMW's got some extra money hanging around if they didn't load up on Georgia Tech. So you get them tied into the Packer and Durham show, and we'll do a commercial for you. No. Take it back.
No.
I'll
do the commercial. You'll do the commercial.
As a person who's purchased the BMW, I can speak for the fine group.
That's it.
So there you go, Atlanta, our new affiliate down there, Packer and Durham.
Mm-hmm. There you have it.
See Feinbaum doing that for you? No. You know why? Because we work with everybody. We do.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Jordan Williams is a defensive tackle at Virginia Tech, and as he said, going to break, started his college career at Clemson, transferred to Blacksburg, and we had a chance to talk to him yesterday. And during the course of the interview, Mark brings up the fact that Jordan Williams might be the single member of an exclusive club.
I mean, you start talking about touching the rock, running down the hill, and Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good combination.
So pay attention to that part of it. But also remember, too, this is a guy who's been a factor on a defense that, you know, kind of got things fixed on Saturday. They went to Atlanta and got a good win. It's been a tough month for the Hokies, and we started our visit with Jordan about the satisfaction of getting the victory.
Absolutely. You know, like you talked about the struggles we had. Guys just had to keep going, keep being leaders, keep pushing each other in practice, and just know that if we go out there and execute, our time is going to come. And our time came Saturday in Atlanta, and it was huge for us. We celebrated, big time win for us.
Jordan, you transfer from Clemson. You go from Clemson, South Carolina to Blacksburg, Virginia. There's some similarities, but I'm sure there's some differences. What's been the biggest change for you?
I would just say the biggest change is definitely just the area. You know, it's a different area, different scheme, different group of guys. You know, I came in from a program where I was at there for four years, actually, and then I came into a brand new locker room and I almost felt like a freshman all over again. So it was definitely different for me coming in right away, but I adjusted well. The guys took me in, and I'm happy I'm here.
I know you're a Tidewater guy, Virginia Beach, right? Played at Cox.
Yes, sir.
And Travion Robinson was one of your teammates, I think, in high school. Did he play a role in your decision to end up at Virginia Tech?
Right when I went into the transfer portal, I think before any coach called me, Travion called me. It was just like, Asked me where my head was at, asking me what happened, what made me want to leave. And he definitely was a big recruit for Virginia Tech. You know, talking to me all the time, asking me what coaches I've talked to, asking me whose number and stuff I had. He definitely played a huge role in it, for sure.
You know,
and it's like my little brother.
Jordan, I was just thinking a second ago with that transfer. You know, you are one of the most blessed, lucky guys who've ever played college football. From all the years of touching Howard's Rock and coming down the hill and now Enter Sandman, yeah. I mean, two of the truly great, most awesome entrances in college football, and you get to be a part of both of them. I mean, there are not many folks who make that comment or make that statement.
Right. No, it's definitely huge. I actually never came to Virginia Tech during my high school recruiting process for a game or anything. So my first real Enter the Sandman experience was September 3rd against UNC. And I still get chills thinking about it. Every time I come out to Enter the Sandman, it's just a different type of hype behind it for me, just because it's so special. Howard's Rock was kind of like the same way for me as well. It's just the tradition, the stuff that's behind it that makes it so special.
All right, so let's think about this here for a moment. You're one of the very few that have done both. Maybe the only one
that's done both. I mean, we know.
So what do we need to know about running out to Enter Sandman compared to running down the hill after touching Howard's Rock? There's a skill set for both, I'm guessing, right?
There's more of that skill set for Howard's Rock. You got a little slope. You can't really just run down it. You got to pace yourself a little bit before you embarrass yourself on TV. But, it's definitely no technique to Sandman. You just get out there, run out there, fired up. Some guys like to make the jump into the Corps of Cadets in the back of the end zone, but you got to know how athletic you are to be able to do that.
As far as this season goes now, hey, we roll into November, you get the win. I know it's been tough times at Lane Stadium, but you still got a bunch of road games. So what's the thought process now that Pitt loses to Miami? You still have some incredibly important games. Everybody's saying, oh, Virginia Tech. No, you're still in the hunt here. So what's November going to look like for this football team?
For us, we just take it one week at a time. There's nothing that we really want to look ahead into. Obviously, it's in the back of our mind, the thought and all of that, but we just want to take it one week at a time and just go 1-0 each week. And for us, that's just going on this last, like you mentioned, a lot of away games and stuff like that. We want to just take it one week at a time and not focus too far ahead. We want to see a smaller picture. You know what I mean?
Well, I tell you what, a smaller picture starts on Friday night this week at Boston College. Hokies and Eagles have tended to play pretty tight fits. Last time you saw Boston College with Clemson, it was a tight fit. So right. I'm sure even though we're a little deeper into the season this year than a year ago when you played them, it's still a competitive, high-level ball game. And more importantly, it's a division game. A division game for you guys in the overall conference, Mark. You got to keep it going.
Yeah, most definitely. Boston College is a really good team, great program. They've been really good for some years now. And we've been watching them on film. We've obviously had a short week to prepare and stuff like that, but we're just going to go in there, try and execute our game plan to the best of our ability and hopefully be able to come out with the results that we had this past weekend.
Jordan, is a guy who's been in the race for not just a conference championship but a national championship in your days at Clemson. How do you talk to these guys about November? Because you've got a perspective, quite frankly, that's probably not very prevalent in that locker room about the month of November and its value.
Right. Like you mentioned, it's like the month of November is just everything, like the margin of error shrinks. Like we can't make, there's no small mistakes. And for us, we just keep hammering that, like penalties, we penalties in practice, we definitely harp on them and like we're hard on each other on them because we know that if it happens on Saturday, like we can't afford to have that happen for us. Like, every yard matters, and we just don't want to be able to give any team anything. We want to go out there and execute with minimal mistakes as possible, but still playing fast and still having fun doing it.
Hey, who's got a better training table, Clemson or Virginia Tech?
A better training table?
Yeah.
I mean, I sat on the same training table, it feels like, all the time.
No, for
all right.
Food.
All right. How about food-wise? Who's got a better food, Virginia Tech or Clemson?
Food-wise? Oh, man. Clemson, those guys get fed well. I can definitely say that. They get fed well. Definitely right, miss so what, it sometimes.
All right. So what could you steal from Clemson that you'd like to see at Virginia Tech for football?
For football, like in the sense of on the field, anything. Off the field, anything?
Anything.
I know for a fact you guys have seen Clemson's facilities and stuff like that, and we don't have a bad facility here, but that facility is just top of the line, and it's just something that you want to be in all day. It's like the guys love to go there and just hang out, get treatment, watch film, take naps in the nap room and stuff. So definitely a facility definitely has a huge role in college football, I feel like.
All right, what's the one thing Virginia Tech has that Clemson should have?
Virginia Tech has that Clemson doesn't have. Ooh, I got to think. The area. I would say the area of Virginia Tech has a lot more food options than Clemson, for sure. Oh, you want to go get good food in Clemson, you got to drive the distance. But I feel like here in Blacksburg, everything is right here.
All right, fair enough. All right, this is our traditional question. I'm going to throw it on you. In fact, let me give it a double dose here. Since you've now transferred to Virginia Tech, since you've been up there in beautiful Blacksburg, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class. I'm in a human sexuality class right now, and it's pretty tough. It's interesting though. Like, the thing about it, like, if a class is tough and you're not really interested in it, you're not gonna put as much effort into it. But if it's tough and you have an interest in it, you'll definitely study more, read more about it. But that human sexuality class it's been getting the best of me a little bit.
All right, I got to be honest with you. In all the 490 some odd shows, I don't think we've had that as an answer yet.
Not.
All right, so what was your hardest class at Clemson?
Sign language, hands down. I don't even got to think about it. Sign language was one of the toughest classes I had at Clemson, but it was definitely like it was one of those classes that was difficult but interesting, so it made you want to keep learning more about it.
All right, listen, you are a lucky fella, man. Anybody could play for the Tigers and for the Hokies. Yeah, like I said, I'm not sure that combo exists.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty strong.
Yep. Hey, Jordan, stay safe, stay well. Look forward to following you guys Friday night at Boston College.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks to Jordan and Williams as well. Thanks to Pete Morris, the longtime Hokie Sports Information Director for football, to help us out there.
Like we said, the SIDs are awesome.
Yep.
Everybody in that entire department, they just, the men and women do an awesome, awesome job. You got to really love it too.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of long hours, again, to make other people look good. And they're not looking for any credit, but we're giving them to them today.
There you go. Pete, stop by our Daily Bread up there in Blacksburg and put it on Packers tab.
That's right. Yeah. Put it on Mrs. Packers tab. Jordan Williams might be like the ultimate Packer family guy. Given the fact that, you know, I'm a Clemson.
Run down the hill at Clemson.
I'm a Clemson grad. Got two daughters who went to Clemson.
Sure.
Mrs. Packer is a Virginia Tech Hokie.
That's it, yeah.
She's a grad. I mean, he kind of checks all the boxes there.
There you go.
For this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
It's time for the appearance of the one and only Tom Lugendahl.
Wednesdays at 8:30. And that means we go to ESPN's lead recruiting guru and purveyor of all things field analyst. Please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. On behalf of ACC Today, Sirius XM 371, afternoons from 3 to 6, please welcome Tom Lugendahl to the program.
Hey, Wes, is your shirt untucked? I just saw the wide shot of the two of you guys. You just having a casual Wednesday there?
Casual Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, man. I got a shirt out. What's the deal? What's the problem? There ain't no problem with that. Am I not wearing boots for you or something?
Hey, Lugs.
No.
Hey, Lugs. Yeah. First of all, Lugs, understand something here. And we're all friends. You played at Georgia Tech. Wes is in the Georgia Tech Hall of Fame. He can pull that off if he wants to. When you're in the Hall of Fame, you can do that.
That's a good point. If you're a Hoff at any level, wear your shirt the way you want to.
That's exactly right.
I'm down.
Okay, good.
it's like me wearing the Wake Forest black and gold sequin jacket at whatever that steak joint was.
That was Del Frisco's.
They're not a sponsor, so I'm not giving them a free plug. But it's a great meal.
Luke's and I are willing to make him a sponsor. All right, Tom, let's go this.
Yeah.
I'll give you a choice here. You get one of two options. We can talk about quarterback play in the ACC. We started the day talking about 2016 to 2021, and we showed some numbers, and it's pretty compelling that this actually might be better than 2016 when we're all said and done. You can either go that, or you can tell us about your Halloween.
You know what? For the sake of having a positive mindset and moving forward and not dwelling on the past, let's talk about ACC quarterbacks.
All right. So
I'm a positive individual. Okay. I focus on the positivity in all things.
All right. Mostly. So we are looking at numbers, and we rolled some of these out here earlier, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to get the Lumberjacks to cobble up the total offense comparison here real quick. And we're going to show you the 2016 quarterbacks and the 2021 quarterbacks as it relates just to total offensive numbers. And I don't know how you see it, and I trust you on quarterback play more than just about anybody else in the country, but the idea is the 2021 group is slaying, not beating, slaying the 2016 quarterbacks when it comes to total yards per game.
They are. The difference between the 2016 and the 2021 is that in the 2021 category there, we see phenomenal production. Most of those teams are not having the defensive performance, all right, to give their team an actual better team, all right, as opposed to the 2016 quarterback. So you take Virginia, for example. I mean, holy smokes, how can you be more productive on offense, really, than Virginia has been? How can you play better than Brennan Armstrong has been? And then you look at the other side of the football. Right now, Sam Howell's hanging on for dear life, doing everything he possibly can. Can't get any help out of the defense. And I remember those 2016 teams. I had Louisville that year, and obviously we know what Clemson was on defense. And I just think the focus is so strong on the quarterback play in 2021, but the overall team for some of these programs isn't what it could be because the defensive side of the football has been lacking.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we know, hey, we've got to wait another, what, 4 or 5 weeks of this regular season and we get to the postseason and see where it goes. But you know, that 2016 resume included a Heisman Trophy winner and a national champion, right? I mean, so it doesn't get any better than that from an individual or team standpoint. So the 21 combination is a little different. And don't you think the game's changed too, Tom? Even within a span of 5 years, it's just a different universe in college football. It's always having it to change and adapt and so forth. And the game now is so offensive that you almost kind of expect to see 300 and 400-yard passing games around the country. It's kind of the norm.
Well, it is the norm. And despite the loss to Miami, that's what makes Kenny Pickett's performance, I think, all the more impressive because Pitt can't run the football.
Right.
All right. I mean, that dude's out there slinging it. And you sit there and say, okay, well, he had two costly turnovers. Yeah, he did. But let me tell you something. The more you put the ball in the air, the more risk you apply to the offense. And if you don't have anything to counter that, then you're probably going to be subject to having an untimely turnover or two. So, again, you look at that 2016 season, Lamar Jackson could throw it and run it. So they created opportunities there. You knew Clemson could run the football with a great defense and dynamic quarterback play, which is Deshaun Watson. So it's interesting to watch even North Carolina this year compared to last year in the run game. Two vastly different programs.
You know, we kidded around the other day, Tom, that one of the hardest jobs in America is to vote for the ACC quarterback of the week. Really. I mean, every single weekend you see Hartman and go, oh, it's got to be him. He threw for 405 touchdowns. You see Brennan Armstrong, you go, oh, my goodness, he threw for the Kenny Pickett, boom. Sam Howell, bam. Malik Cunningham. I mean, the list goes on and on. Voting for that is doggone impossible this year in the ACC.
How about the last 2 weeks? I think Tyler Van Dyke would garner a bunch of votes.
Yep.
Just off, I mean, I – You talked about growing up in a hurry and a guy that has vastly, vastly changed the fortunes of that football team. It's just amazing. You sit there and you shake your head. What happens when you find a quarterback? It's amazing how that seems to work. And you're right. I would probably tend to lean towards Sam Hartman, because Sam has been so unbelievably efficient and consistent. He hasn't had lapses, hasn't disappeared for a quarter, you know, hasn't been risky with the football, and then maybe gotten away with it and sometimes didn't get away with it. He has been like this, and at a performance like this. And that's, you know, to me, and again, that's a reflection of where that team is right now, right? I mean, you've got a redshirt juniors, redshirt seniors, super seniors. And by the way, let me just add something in, because I have Michigan State this week. Can you imagine what they'd be on offense with Kenny Walker?
Ooh.
Pretty unbelievable.
Holy
what they'd be.
Smokes.
Well, they're unbelievable as it is, because they've had like 1,200 odd yards and what is it? 100 and some odd points in 2 weeks. Now, I know that, you know, Army invited a shootout 2 weeks ago, but so did Duke in some respects, because it was 38-0 before the Blue Devils, you know, got into scoring position. Tom, I want to show you a tweet David Hale had, because we've run through this list of quarterbacks, and Devin Leary's doing something that nobody has done this year for sure. He's multiple touchdown passes, no interceptions in six straight. Now, Packer says I'm cursing him, by the way, or jinxing him, if you will. Every quarterback with a longer streak in the playoff era was drafted in the first round. Tua, Fields, Mariota, Trevor, and Baker Mayfield. That is remarkable.
It's impressive company, isn't it? You know, and then you start to look at it and say, okay, well, will that transition to potentially being a first rounder at some point? I don't know. Time will tell. I think he certainly has an opportunity to continue to grow and maybe, just maybe, become a Kenny Pickett at some point, right? We got the extra year of eligibility. Yep. Who says he couldn't? You know, to me, that's, he's got an opportunity. There's a line, I don't want to get off tangent here, but he's a guy, all right, and I think there's a handful of other guys across college football that need to take a page from Kenny Pickett's mindset.
Well,
because if you... You know, it, to me, that kid made the wisest quarterback decision when it related to the NFL draft of any quarterback I've seen in at least 20 years.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and you know this better than most. There are more kids, if they see what Pickett's stock did by coming back, I think more will take advantage of it, don't you? Because Kenny Pickett was a second potential third-day guy a year ago. I mean, he was second day at the high end, and there were not many guys voting second day. He's played himself to a Thursday night guy at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when we had them, our crew had them versus Tennessee, and we point blank asked him, he said, the information I got probably led me to believe I was going to be a round 5-7 guy. That wasn't good enough. Coach Narduzzi thought he wasn't going to come back. He calls Coach Narduzzi and says, hey, Coach, I'm going to come back. All right. And I think he realized you've got 14 super seniors on that team. You had weapons around you. You know what the opportunity is to enhance your stock. And I thought Mark Whipple said something that was really, really interesting. He said, you know, when you start to look, he said, look at some of the games on the schedule and where some of those games are. And he pointed to that Tennessee game. He said, those NFL scouts, they're going to go to your bigger games. They're going to go to your bigger games on the road, and they're really going to start studying. And in that particular game, you know, he was unbelievable on third down, unbelievable in 2 and 4 minute, a model of efficiency. And he's been able to do that week in and week out. And to me, you know, if you're looking at Kenny Pickett as a potential first rounder right now, and you are a quarterback with an extra year of eligibility, and you've had maybe some good moments, but you're probably not going to get the news you want from the NFL, go call Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm.
Tom, switching gears real quick. College football playoff poll unveiled last night. Anything jump out at you? Any surprises? The ACC has Pitt 25, NC State 19, yeah. Wake Forest 9. Any ACC surprise there? And nationally, what jumps out at you?
I didn't see any ACC surprise. I actually thought Wake might be higher than that. I thought Wake might be, you know, maybe 7 or 8. I thought it was painfully obvious what the committee did last night just to protect themselves, right? Does anybody maybe believe that even though Oregon beat Ohio State, that right now Oregon is a better team than Ohio State? Probably not, but they don't have to make that move now. They know what's in front of Ohio State over the next 3 weeks, all right? So that will play itself out. So they take the safe move, put Oregon where they feel they best need to be. And then, you know, for me, they feel the same way about Michigan State, because Michigan State, with their upcoming games, the Big Ten potentially cannibalizes itself. You know, they got to go on the road and play at Purdue this weekend. That's going to be a losable and a winnable game for Michigan State. So let's see what happens there. And where they set Cincinnati allows them to take Cincinnati, and if they just keep doing their job, the folks in front of them, if they start faltering, now they can look like the good guys and just slowly put Cincinnati up. So I thought their line of thinking was probably the correct one, but it was also the predictable one.
As far as the ACC goes, Tom, Wake Forest ranked 9th on the road, unranked North Carolina. NC State ranked 19th on the road at Florida State. We have seen this all year long. 61 ranked AP teams losing, right? 36 to unranked. Both of those games feel like, hey, you guys with the number beside your name, don't think you could just show up with a C-plus, B-minus effort and think you can win those games on the road. Those both have potential to be surprises.
Absolutely, and I think the most important thing is the crowd. Both of those teams need the crowd to play a significant role because, you know, with Wake Forest, all right, they're the better team right now, but you can impact a team on the road. And to me, that's so important. And Florida State's playing better, so that kind of scares you a little bit because now you look at them different than maybe you did in week 2 and 3. So then your kids obviously have to get up for a different type of football team. But listen, we've seen it across the landscape of college football each and every week. You don't bring your A game, you're going down. And it really, outside of what we've seen from Georgia, you know, it doesn't even matter if there's a huge talent discrepancy. We've seen teams go down that have no business going down to the opponent, which I think is what has made college football maybe one of the most magical seasons we've seen in a long time in 2021.
Amen. All right. Only because we're affiliated part and parcel with SiriusXM and Channel 371, we're going to let you get the full screenshot of your Spatola Skaggs Scarangella infused shirt that you're wearing today that Spatola said you'd never wear on the show because it would be a breach of protocol. And by the way, the coveted invite was on there too, is saying that you know, we'd be fired up about it. Coveted invite was on 371 yesterday.
She's now a SiriusXM employee.
I heard that. So anyway, Luke's was on, and Luke said he's going to wear the shirt. XM? Say what?
Are we all on SiriusXM?
Well, yeah, occasionally.
Every
every
stinking day. Yeah, every day we're on SiriusXM, Wes.
Yeah. What are you having in that glass? What are you having in that glass, by the way?
This is a Celsius Heat performance drink to hit me at my best as I get throughout the day.
Sure it is. Right, Pack?
That's not what I go to for the morning shot.
That's not exactly right. That's not exactly close to what we do here. Have a great day. Safe travels, by the way, to see the folks in East Lansing, right? Is that where you're going, East Lansing?
Hey.
West Lafayette.
Ooh.
Hey, I think American Airlines flies direct there. Have you looked into that?
Yeah.
They don't. They fly direct into Indianapolis, and I'm doing this there.
I guess. I got you.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah. So is your baggage.
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't checking any bags. No.
All right. Good luck on the weather in West Lafayette.
Yeah, don't even get me started there too, because you know it's going to be something problematic.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Let's go to the fan accounting. Second scoop of that for you here on a Wednesday. Don't forget, use the hashtag Packer and Durham. You can tag us if you like. The fellows will find you. Crack staff. Let's get to.
I thought we didn't have a staff. Isn't that what you told that guy the other day? Was giving you a hard time?
Kind of a staff. We have folks that do the production side of it. We don't have in-depth research and things like that.
Now you're looking at the research for the most part.
Yeah. So here we go. Let's move on. Adam Bell. Swiss at one. State, Virginia, Pitt, Clemson, top five. Miami, Louisville, Syracuse, Florida State. And then 10 through 14 is Carolina, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Duke.
Everybody's in the neighborhood, dude.
Yep. 15, the art of tackling.
Yeah, we've lost that.
16, zebras.
I'm assuming he's talking to the officials.
The animal.
Could be zoo animals, yeah.
Could be.
It's not been a great year across the country.
Oh, boy.
In officiating. It really hasn't. I mean, I said it only from the afternoon show that there's not a week that goes by that somebody on the corner of the earth is complaining about terrible officiating.
That's right.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's a tough gig.
And you can typically start here on Mondays. All right, next is Kev Smitty, who's number one is Pickett passing for 519.
Wow.
And here's the thing, 519 hits 70% of them.
In a losing effort. Go figure.
Man. Wake, Pitt, State, Clemson, top five again. Virginia, Syracuse, Miami, Florida State.
That Invaders of the North has really been picked up.
We ought to find that clip and pull it, by the way.
Yeah, it was great.
It was. Then Team of Mystery is TOM at 11. That's Louisville, Virginia, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Duke, and the missed safety call is 16.
Well, it was. I hate to say it. That looked like a safety to me. Had I been officiating.
Yeah.
And out of position, I would have told you it was a safety.
Nas Trav, 2022 Water Rabbit Pack.
Ooh, you know what that means by that.
Pontoon boat at Lake Hartwell for the rowing championships.
We're 6 months out. We got to get working on it.
Wake, the top 10 Swiss, ketchup sauce. What?
That's been used before.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that Pitt? What is that? What is that?
What do you think of when I say ketchup? All right, I'll explain to you later. Go ahead. We got time. Go ahead.
NC State 4, my Clemson 5, Mystery, that's Louisville, Orange Bowl evacuees, Miami.
Yeah.
Okay. UVA wine and cheese.
Florida. Wait a minute now. There may be some schools take offense to that.
There might be. Florida State, Tar Heeled. Turkey Legs, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Duke. Skiba and Egg Custard Jinx.
That would be you. Might as well put Wes Durham at 16.
Yeah, might as well. Just throw me in there. All right, Bearcat. He's last. The Swiss. Put the teams in a hat and draw is 2 through 9.
Draw names.
Oh, draw names, 10. Sorry. That is funny. 11, Georgia Tech. 12, North Carolina. 13, Boston College, 14, Duke. A cortisone shot in the toe is 15.
That was yesterday afternoon's fun for me.
Mack Brown Presser, 16.
That's a great list.
That
might be my best. That may be the best one for me this week.
Can I tell you something? If we had something to send you for the best accounting of the week, we would.
I like that one. That was clever.
I would send that one. I would send something on that.
How about I send, see if I can get that x-ray of them showing me the cortisone needle.
No, we don't
need
that.
In my toe yesterday.
No, we don't.
Send that to the guy.
No.
By the way, the doctor was an Alabama guy. We were talking some serious football yesterday before he...
We know how much you like medicine.
Golly. You might as well have me jump into the ocean.
We know how much you like
medicine. Mr. Packer,
medicine.
You got two options. All right, what's option one? Well, we can give you these pack of pills to take for about a week. Nah, I hate that. I got enough pills. What's option two? Well, stick this needle right
there.
Take
a 9-inch needle and shove it in your toe.
I said, is there an option C? Nah, yeah, there is. You can walk, you hobble right on out of here, and you'll be good to go, and your foot will be the size of a football by the time we get to the show tomorrow. So I went with the needle. It was not fun.
There we go. All right. You want to throw your foot up on the table and everybody see it? Come on.
Seriously. My shoe, I can put my foot in my shoe. Today.
Oh, I
could barely do it yesterday. So we're rocking. I'm feeling good today. I am. It's the best I've felt in like 5 days.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.